Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the MMJ Group Holdings Limited Investor Presentation. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Michael Curtis, Non-Executive Director of MMJ and Director of Embark Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rachel. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking the time to listen to our presentation. I'm sitting here as well with my partner, Mohan Nair, the Chief Investment Officer for Embark Ventures. The background of both of us that's brought us to this space is a little bit unique, so I thought I'd spend a couple minutes on that, and then we'll move through the presentation, our portfolio companies, and where we really think this sector is going over the next 6 to 12 months. I began my career originally as a clinician, focused in Canada's second largest teaching hospital, primarily focused on orthopedic research. Post doing that, I moved into investment banking, working for RBC Dominion Securities, Lehman Brothers, and Canaccord Genuity. My focus during that time was primarily on healthcare companies, pharmaceutical, big cap biotech, etc., which eventually led me to the cannabis space. I'd been looking for a way to enter the cannabis space and got interested in an extraction methodology and company, and along with another gentleman, formed a company called DoseCan. It was at the time the only extraction company in Canada, and MMJ was the lead investor for that. That company was sold to Cannabis Wheaton for $40 million, and MMJ had almost a 2.5 times return on their investment. Following that, I was asked to become a board member for MMJ, and we continued along the extraction path, doing additional investments in companies such as Embark Health and others. I'll hand it over to my partner, Mohan, to talk about his background now.
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Mohan Nair. I'm a 20-year veteran in the financial services industry globally. Most of that career has been spent at Canaccord Capital, Macquarie, TD Bank, etc. Most of my career has been focused on research, proprietary trading, and sales and trading as well, and some corporate finance too. Well, however, over the last 5 years, I switched to the buy side and became a portfolio manager for a long-short fund out of Montreal called Tactics Asset Management. And I've always been interested in cannabis, but because of the structure of my previous fund, I wasn't able to fully invest in it. And I saw a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here that was very similar to what happened in Prohibition era in the 1930s. So when Mike approached me to co-manage this fund with him, you know, I saw a secular trend that couldn't be denied. I saw a 20-year runway and got excited and joined MMJ at that point. Thank you.
Now, MMJ has formed a partnership with Embark Ventures. Embark Ventures has been set up effectively as a cannabis incubator knowledge platform that allows us to work through the variety of investments that we see every day. So within our network, we have the capability and proficiency to source complicated investments or early stage stuff that retail investors just will never see. We can make those investments and structure them properly, depending on market conditions, both to maximize the return that we get for investors as well as protect the downside, especially in these exceptionally difficult markets. We're now creating the size of an ecosystem within MMJ and Embark where we can begin to add value to our investments, both as these companies start to work together and as they consolidate. Mohan and myself have sat on sales and trading desks, trading multi-million dollar blocks of stocks, so we have the ability and understanding how to exit large-scale investments, very much something that we did with our MetaFarm investment, which was well over $25 million. We're going to continue to build out this ecosystem, and we feel like there's probably one more iteration until the companies that we have are probably the best in the world.
So I'm on slide 11 now, which is the investment strategy slide. So what I'd focus on here is to tell you that when we took over the fund, we saw that two positions represented more than 60% of the net asset value of the company. And so the first thing we embarked on is to create more diversification within the portfolio, something that we've succeeded in doing over the last 6 months. If we kind of break down our strategy as a barbell, and one end of the barbell would basically be giving retail investors, such as yourselves, the opportunity to invest in instruments and companies that you wouldn't be able to directly access. So we're able to negotiate unique instruments and unique opportunities, which we'll go through later on in the presentation, that you wouldn't be able to access otherwise. And the second thing is we focus on subsectors that are actually very relevant and likely to be profitable going forward. And specifically, I'm talking about Cannabis 2.0, which is the extraction business and higher margin retail, premium retail businesses as well. So we understand the direction in which the market is going, so we focus on that, and we buy stuff that you wouldn't be able to access otherwise. So that's sort of the barbell strategy that we have in deploying your capital for you.
So that kind of brings us to today's discussion, and why would you want to invest in cannabis now? Clearly, it's been an exceptionally difficult market for the last 6 months. What we saw in North America began as a mild retail sell-off that morphed into a full institutional sell-off with a mass capitulation in late 2019. Expectations had grown dramatically over and above what could possibly happen, and as the financials started to come out, we started to see some of these companies' valuations come down relatively quickly. Through this last 6 months, we've seen a lot of cost-cutting and a lot of moving towards profitability, and we believe that the companies that we're going to make investments in now will be the leaders over time. It's always about stock picking in Cannabis 2.0 and any later trends of growth. We're going to focus on various sectors within this industry where we know that we can make significant returns. Obviously, what we've seen with a variety of companies out there is they didn't have enough cash on their balance sheet and they've run into some significant issues. So, needless to say, we will continue to focus on well-capitalized, well-run companies. All of these companies need to be able to compete in highly competitive cost environments. We could see definitely prices coming down slightly, so all of our companies need to be able to deal with that. And lastly, MMJ really has been a leader within the extraction space, leading the DoseCan financing, leading the financing for MetaFarm, leading the financing for Embark. And really, that's because that is one of the most profitable and highly sought-after areas within the cannabis industry. This bottleneck is forcing everything to flow through, whether it's to make vapes, edibles, etc. We are and will continue to be very bullish on this space. And lastly, we want to look at branded retail. And when we say branded retail, we're really going to focus on the higher-end stuff where we know that that brand is going to be consistent over the next 10 to 15 years.
And I would just add to that as well, Mike, that the chart that you guys see on page 14 is probably the most important chart in this presentation. This is a chart that shows the performance of MetaFarm Labs, which is a premier Cannabis 2.0 company, compared to the broader cannabis space. And what you see is clear outperformance. And you see this outperformance not just with MetaFarm Labs, you also see it with other Cannabis 2.0 names. So it's not just that this is our strategy, it's that this strategy is currently working in the marketplace.
So as we move on to page 15 and look at some of the companies within the portfolio, you can really see that we focused on that extraction area and the product retail area as where we've gone. As we look at some of the names where we think dramatic returns can be seen in 2020, we'll focus on what is now our one of our larger positions, Embark Health, and this is large-scale extraction. So to put that into the context, the investment that MMJ did in DoseCan was into a 50,000-square-foot facility that was going to potentially process 250,000 pounds a year. Embark Health is building the largest extraction business in Canada with facilities in British Columbia and Ontario, as well as instead of doing a single extraction modality, we're going to be including seven different modalities. We think that this position and this scale is going to allow us to probably extract over 10 million pounds of hemp or cannabis a year and is just going to be a cash-generating machine. This position is going to potentially go, assuming market conditions stay relatively stable, public by the end of the first half of this year. And frankly, we think this is going to be a second MetaFarm Labs on our hands, so we're exceptionally excited about it. As we look then to WeedMD, this is a low-cost production and brand, and really why we chased it, and again, our thesis. It's got a significant indoor grow, it's got a significant outdoor grow, and its extraction operations are ramping up quickly. It just completed a significant $25 million investment from La Luna Union. That means that it has over 80,000 medicinal clients that can be treated that are relatively captured within the system now. It's able to expand, and we feel like the brands that they're producing and others are going to make this very exceptional in terms of cash flow and profitability. But more important, as we look at structure, this was a convertible debenture. So while the stock price of the company has gone down, we're relatively flat on our position and remain one of the largest investors. And then Sequoia. We've been looking for a way to expand into international expansion as we look to be able to sell into the European countries, especially Germany. So we created Sequoia. It's a Polish-based extraction company that's built its facility in less than 12 months, which is really quite remarkable. In addition, it's achieved EU GMP certification, which means that products that are produced in this can be directly shipped into Germany. That is ramping up now. It's focusing on getting biomass and processing CBD with its THC license probably to come in 6 months from now. We, again, think this is going to be a highly valuable position, and we expect to see some significant liquidity from it through the year.
Thanks, Mike. I'll address Harvest One, which is slide number 21. This is a legacy position that MMJ has had for the last 2 years. This company has phenomenal brands and great distribution. Royal High is one of its brands. It's constantly sold out at the Ontario Cannabis Store, BC Cannabis Store, and they have exceptional distribution through Shoppers Drug Mart and Holland & Barrett. The challenge for Harvest One has been trying to solve the actual production issue. They simply just don't have enough cannabis to sell. And part of their solution for that was to build a facility called Lucky Lake, which led them to become capital constrained and have some liquidity issues. So what we did is we did a sum of the parts valuation on the company, and we feel it's worth between $40 to $50 million as compared to the current market cap of $24 million. And this is a legitimate sum of the parts that we feel very comfortable in, that it's very conservative. So having that kind of confidence in the value, the underlying value of the company, and realizing that the company has no debt on its balance sheet, we lent them $2 million in straight debt, secured against all their assets in a first rank. And simultaneous to that, we also encouraged the company to start a strategic review process whereby they should consider selling part of their assets or all of their assets or the company as a whole. And that process is undergoing. And preliminarily, from what we've seen through the process, we're very confident it'll resolve itself in a situation very favorable to current shareholders. So we expect to see liquidity from this position shortly as well. The next one I want to speak about is Bespoke, which is slide 22. So earlier on, when I was telling you about our investment strategy and procuring investments that are not available to retail investors, I would point to this as a prime example of that. So Bespoke SPAC is essentially a special purpose acquisition vehicle that's listed on the Toronto main board. They raised $350 million to go out and purchase various cannabis equities. However, there was two stages of investments. There was a public round, which was accessible to retail investors and institutions. That round was basically a unit that came with one share and one warrant. However, through our network and our relationships, we were able to secure an investment into the founders round that gave us one unit that contained one share and 20 warrants. So we literally got 20 times as many warrants as you would have gotten if you attempted to buy the stock. The net result of it is that on day one of trading, our position was a double, whereas the average person who bought this, the position was flat. So this is the sort of thing that we can give you if you invest through MMJ. It's something you would not be able to access on your own. And I think with that, I'll pass it back to Mike to take the next slide.
So obviously, we're going to be dealing with some big positions and some liquidity as we go through this year. I want to just talk a little bit about the market opportunity and where we see the sector and how we're going to continue our investments. Canada seems to be fairly well worked over, and we're going to focus our geographic distribution primarily in Western Europe. We really want to have access to the German market as it opens up, and our belief is that the rest of Europe is going to follow that relatively quickly. We're also going to focus on the U.S. market. It's finally time for us because we can only invest in federally legal things, so we're going to look to potentially do investments in the extraction space, but only extracting CBD, which is now federally legal under the Farm Act. As we ramp up these programs within the United States, Our assumption is that eventually THC will become fully legal, and we'll just be able to change the biomass input for those extraction outfits as that happens. That should, again, put us in the forefront. And we're used to building facilities to FDA-grade standards, so we feel that we're going to have a significant competitive advantage to what's being built currently in the United States. We're going to keep chasing the regulatory regime. And what that means is as the conditions and laws and rules become less and less, there's a certain way that the investments go. For example, generally, as you see here in Australia, they start in the clinics business and they start on the medicinal side, and then they head into the other areas. We're preparing and focusing on the countries where we're comfortable, and we'll invest in those regulatory regimes as they go along. Our belief is as we continue to work through these investments and with the portfolio that we have, our goal will be to really be the number one cannabis investment fund in the world.
Thanks, Mike. I'm going to take the next slide, which is slide number 25 in your presentation, market opportunities and vision. And the purpose of this slide is to tell you how we're going to close the gap between our net asset value and our share price. Before I get to that, you know, our number one goal is not just to close that gap, but it's also to just increase NAV overall. And this is where I'd sort of reiterate the importance of picking the right stocks at this juncture. Very similar to what you saw in, say, the tech bubble from 1998 to 2002, there's the first overcapitalized overproduction phase, and, you know, there's too many companies, and there's a whole bunch of consolidation that happens. And then winners emerge from that. And the winners end up being much bigger than the industry was prior. So, for example, our belief is that in 2 to 5 years, the total market capitalization of this industry will be a multiple of its current market capitalization. However, there will be fewer names, fewer players representing that market capitalization. So stock selection is super, super crucial at this stage. And a key part of what we've done is we've focused on cannabis 2.0 names, which we believe are going to be the winners. So with that, I'm just going to move to how we're going to close the gap. There's like three primary ways that we're going to do that. First is to basically give you investments that you couldn't access otherwise. For example, the bespoke opportunity I spoke about earlier, using our network to secure investments that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. A second part of it is to leverage our operating platform. So we have a basket of investments that have synergies across the portfolio. So what we've done is we've introduced various portfolio companies to each other and helped them grow a bigger business for both. So one of our investment companies is a company called Valero that makes vape pens. They were looking for a facility to base their operations out of, so we introduced them to another portfolio company, Weedme, to potentially partner up, and both can have much bigger sales together rather than separately. Another example is we provided technical expertise from one of our portfolio companies, Embark Health, for another portfolio company, Sequoia Cannabis, based out of Poland. So we're leveraging that operating platform, and you know what we want to do is we want to make 1 + 1 = 3. That's really the goal here, not just have individual pieces that work together to make a greater whole. And the last thing is to give you back some money. So what we're doing there is we're having share buybacks, so we consistently buy the shares back and, you know, have a lower float going forward, so it's returning money back to shareholders. So those are the three ways in which we plan to close that gap. And as I said, it's not just about closing the gap between NAV and price. It's also increasing NAV overall through Cannabis 2.0. Thanks.
Thanks, Mohan. I think now I'm going to hand it over to Jim Hallin, our CFO and Company Secretary, to talk just briefly about our share purchase plan and our next steps forward for us.
Thanks, Mike. I'm on page 27, which gives the highlights to the share purchase plan. Company's raising $5 million to provide funds for new investments. Mike's outlined that opportunity. The offer price is 11 cents. It's a 10% discount to the VWAP and a 51% discount to the NAV. Shareholders in Australia and New Zealand are able to subscribe between $1,000 and $30,000 worth of new shares without the cost of incurring brokerage or transaction costs. The company's directors who are eligible to participate in the share purchase plan have all indicated they intend to participate in the share purchase plan. The offer documents will be sent out to MMJ shareholders this week. You should be receiving receiving them early next week. The offer closes on the 10th of March. If you would like to get more detail, including copies of the offer document before you receive them, there are details on our website.